often for prayer. On Acts 16, where we're taking our text from, Paul and Silas were thrown in prison after being dragged, grabbed, beaten, stripped, severely beaten, thrown into isolated or solitary confinement, and then thrown into stocks. Listen what the Bible says about what these guys did after that happened. This is Acts 16, 25. I'm only going to talk about one verse this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is. It's still morning. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen.
True.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Here's a very basic definition for prayer. Prayer is just simply talking to God. Actually, in its most fundamental definition, if you go all the way back to Genesis 3, prayer is not meditation. It's not even reflection. Prayer is communication, communing. The word com means more than once. Com, in common, two or more. It's a communication. It's a back and forth. So prayer can be audible. It can be silent. It can be public. It can be private. It can be formal. It can be informal. Prayer can be a group session. It can be a single session with you only and the Lord. But it's always about communication with God. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think we pray enough. I know a lot of churches talk about you don't give enough. Some churches talk about you don't serve enough. Some churches focus on you don't attend enough. Some churches focus on you don't work enough. I think the problem is, as a body of believers, listen, whether you are a member of a church, whether you're a member of a mega church or a small church like ours, I think the most glaring deficiency, ladies and gentlemen, is prayer. Not petitioning per se. People confuse prayer and petition. Petition is an aspect of prayer. It is a type of prayer. But prayer in its core meaning is communication with God, interaction with God, even silence, being in his presence, just letting him speak to us through his spirit, through his word. That is lacking. And I'm serious. This is not just a new thing. I've been hearing this my entire life. Saints, we need to pray. Saints, we need to pray more. We don't need to beg more. We don't need to ask for more. We don't need to petition more. We need to pray more. Lord, speak to us. Lord, touch us. Lord, help us to love you more. Lord, help me to be a better person. Help me to be more like you. I put in my notes that prayer is communicating with God the Father in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's just straight from James 1:6. Prayer must be offered in faith. John 16:23, we should pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in Romans 8:26, we should pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's prayer life. Prayer, it's continuous. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always and pray continually. The King James says pray always or pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:18 that we should pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And why do I emphasize this in these lessons on discipleship, on following Jesus? It's because prayer changes us. It doesn't always change things. I know there's placards and billboards and books and everything about prayer changing things. Sometimes prayer changes things, but all of the time, prayer is designed to change us to agree with God. It's about changing our thinking. Romans 8:26 says, we don't even know what to pray for sometimes. We pray for the wrong things. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. There's this beautiful passage in Psalms 119:37. I believe I have it in my notes. And it's talking about what proper things we should pray for. The psalmist says, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. In other words, what he's writing there is that, Lord, help me not to pray for stuff that I don't need. Help me not to pray for stuff that you don't want to give me. Help me not to pray for stuff that's bad for me or that's distracting or that can be detrimental or counterproductive. Help me to pray for the right stuff. Help me to pray for the right things. Amen. I think that's so great because we don't know what to pray for. And sometimes we pray for the wrong things. I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 19. He says, and we use it kind of as a salutation, but it's this passage that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And before that, the psalmist writes in Psalms 19, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Amen. That they may not take hold of me, that they may not rule over me, that I might not be subjected to them. I love the fact that the psalmist is telling me, take my eyes from worthless things. Help me to pray what your word says to pray. Amen. Last point I wanted to give you on prayer. And that is this concept of the idea that prayer is not designed to inform God of stuff. Matthew 6:8 says, so don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the religious people. What is he saying? He's saying that the religious people pray because they think that if you pray enough, loud enough, long enough, hard enough, that somehow God will give you what you want. You can't blackmail. You can't pressure God into granting your request. God addresses our prayers based on what he wants to do. Are our prayers lining up with his will? So here's what I love this, that Matthew 6 says. It says, don't be like the Pharisees, for your Father already knows what you need before you ask. So as you can see from that passage, everybody, prayer is not designed to inform God or instruct God. Prayer is not designed to enlighten God. God is already hip. If God doesn't know what we need, then he's not omniscient, right? He has to know what we need if he knows everything. So obviously the purpose of prayer is not to bring this to God's attention. He knows. I think the purpose of prayer is that what the Lord says is that it's for us to seek his will, to get what he wants for us. Lord, I need this, but I want what you want for me. Give me your best. Don't let me settle for something that's going to be injurious to me, that's going to hurt me, that's going to be a problem for me. Amen. And I love, finally, what King Jehoshaphat prayed in 2 Chronicles 20 when he didn't know what to do and they were under assault. He says, oh, our God, will you not, I'm reading 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. It says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless. Most of us are powerless all the time in circumstances that are beyond our control. We're powerless. We can't change people. We can't change things. We can't change situations. We're powerless. But the Bible says we're powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. And I think the best prayer is a prayer that says, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to ask for. I don't know even what I need, but what I do know is that my eyes are on you and I trust in you. I believe in you. I have faith in you. Amen. Before I close, one quick definition for faith. I know we know the definition that Hebrews gives us. Now faith is the evidence of things. The substance of things hope for and the evidence of things not seen, right? We have that. And that's a great definition. But it's a definition that I think that sometimes it goes over our heads. It might be sometimes requiring a little more information, a little more definition. Here's a good definition of faith that I like that's as good as Hebrews 11:1, but maybe a little different. And that is a personification of that kind of faith. And here's where it's at. It's in Daniel. It's in Daniel chapter 3. It's in this prophetic book. And here's what it says. Watch this. I love this. It's the Hebrew boys are about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? I'm going to close with this. I just want you guys to see this. The Hebrew boys, I think I got the exact passage. I might have put it in your notes. The Hebrew boys are about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, right? And here's what happened. The Bible says that when they're about to, since they won't bow down to the beast, they won't bow down to this image in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. And here's what it says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. You all listening? Okay, I'm going to close with this. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. Translate that, Pastor Will. They're saying, King, we don't even need to think about this. We don't need to caucus. We don't need to conference. We don't need to huddle. We don't need a strategy. Are y'all with me? Says, this doesn't even require a second thought, King. How many of us are that locked in? How many of us are that sold out? How many of us are that committed where we don't even have to think twice when it comes to doing something that is against God or putting another God before him or bowing down to anything but God? These guys are, from all accounts, these guys are teenagers. These guys could do whatever they want. Their parents are probably dead or in captivity. They were captured. They've been abducted because they were the best and the brightest. They're serving the king, and they have this resolute attitude. And these cats say, we don't even need to discuss it. I don't care if you're 70. That is amazing. But to do it at 17, I'm impressed. I'm humbled by this. I'm completely inspired by these young men. And I'm more even inspired by this next statement that they made. They said in Daniel 3, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace of blazing fire. And by the way, that, by the way, is my working definition of faith. Faith is believing that God can do all things. He may not do this specific request that I'm asking for the way I want it, when I want it, where I want it, why I want it. I may be asking for something wrong. It doesn't mean that God is incapable of doing what he can do. It's just that by his grace and mercy, he may choose, you know what? I'm not going to do that for you because that's going to hurt you. That's going to harm you. No parent will just give their kids a constant dose of something bad knowing that it could hurt them. They're not going to let you play with your bike out in the middle of a busy street. That's not being mean. That's being responsible. That's being wise as a parent, recognizing that letting you play with your bike in the middle of the street can bring you great harm. I would want my parent to do that. I'm looking back in my life. My mother would not let us ride our bikes across Rhodes Avenue. That's a busy street in Akron. Comparable maybe to Euclid Avenue. Don't do it. They drive fast. They're out of control. Even back then when they weren't even distracted with, you know, their phones. By the way, on that note, I'm driving down 260 the other day. There's this young man. He's walking three dogs at a time. He has three dogs. By the way, I noticed no pickup bag for poop. He just walking the dogs. They're all in people's yards. He just going down the street. But that wasn't the point. This guy is walking three dogs. He's holding the three leashes with his left hand. With his right hand, he's in his phone. He's walking across the street in his phone with his dogs through the yard. So I have a question for everybody that's under 40. What is it I need a prop. Are you guys going to be able to help me get back to my place and where I was with Daniel 3? Don't worry, I got my notes. I know where I'm at. Here's the guys walking out. So I'm here's my question to people under 40, because he was under 40. What is he watching? What is he looking? He wasn't talking. He wasn't a guy because I'm looking at his mouth while I'm standing at the light. He's walking. He's doing this. He got the dogs. So my question is, A, was it TikTok? B, was it Twitter? X. C, was it Facebook? D, was it his Instagram timeline? E, was it YouTube? You have to be under 40 to answer this, because I have no idea. Okay. Oh, he could have been watching a sermon. That's right. That's still YouTube or Facebook. My point is that he was completely oblivious to all the traffic around him. He could have been hit and in heaven and not even knowing how he got there that quick or somewhere else. But at any rate, my point is that he was just completely distracted. I don't know what he was so into that was that important, that he wasn't watching the dogs, he wasn't picking up their whatever, and he wasn't watching for cars. At any rate, not these three guys. The Bible says in verse 17 of Daniel 3, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace of blazing fire. In other words, faith is not what we want, but what God is able to do. Do you believe God can do all things? That's faith. Specific items, that's God's prerogative. That's called divine providence. That's what he chooses to do. My job as a believer is to believe and know and be confident beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is able to do all things. And you say, well, Pastor, well, how do you know that? Because of the next statement the guys made. They said, now look, he may not deliver us from the fiery furnace. Y'all with me? But he will deliver us out of your hands. In other words, we may come through this as a pile of ash in a few minutes. The furnace was heated 7 times hotter. We may end up being a pile of ash, cremated, but God is still able. What happens to us doesn't negate what God can do. What the outcome is doesn't dictate who he is. Our results, our outcome is not predicated on God's strength. God is able to do all things but fail. Job said in Job 42, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. That's the KJV, plain English. No purpose of yours can be stopped. No purpose of yours can be upended. Amen. These guys are just, this is faith. Faith is not about the results. Faith is not about the outcome. Faith is about the object of our faith, the purpose, the provider of our faith. That's what faith is about, knowing who God is and what he can do. And then the rest is just up to him. Because I'm comfortable with the rest, right? Because if I trust him, then I trust his results. If a kid trusts his parents, they know the parents aren't going to let them play with their bike in the middle of Euclid Avenue at 5 o'clock. Right? No responsible parent's going to do that. Our God is a great father, and he's not going to do that. He's not going to deliberately put us in harm's way. That's faith, knowing and trusting that God has our back, that he will protect us and provide for us. Amen? Isn't that great to know? That's where our confidence is. That's great to know. I'm done. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for this service. Thank you for the beautiful songs, the beautiful testimonies, the beautiful praise reports. Lord, may it strengthen us, inspire us to do another great week of serving you. Give us encouragement. Give us just resolute confidence that we're going to be saved and that we're going to be pleasing in your sight. Give us that assurance, Lord, that you have us, and we trust you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So any, amen.